This week on Dueling Review, we take a look at Legion of Superheroes Millennium Number 1 from DC Comics. Brought to you by some of comics' greatest talents, this epic story spans the course of 1,000 years and, for the first time, connects all of DC's future timelines. Starring the unlikeliest of DC heroes as she learns to cope with newfound immortality and roams through the desperate societies of Batman Beyond, Commandy, and Tommy Tomorrow, wrestling with her own inner demons and desperately trying to find her purpose in an ever-changing world. Do not miss this truly unique take on tomorrow's DC Universe, all leading up to a special launch on the Millennium! Or something like that. I don't know. Let's just see what the book's about, okay? Let us talk Legion of Superheroes Millennium. And this was the thing that you and I had talked about before, because my question was, especially when recently I was reading, I think it was Batman and Robin, the Super Sons book, where Tommy Tomorrow appears. I'm like, he's a future guy, and Commandy is a future guy. And then we read that weird Guardians of the Galaxy DC thing.
Right.
Whatever that was a couple of months ago on the Dueling Review. And I said, this is a future. How are you going to fit the Legion of Superheroes into this future? And sure enough, DC Comics does it with Legion of Superheroes Millennium.
Now, Millennium, of course, is from the Latin word, meaning not in this. So the actual title of this issue is Legion of Superheroes, : not in this.
No, it's Millennium Number 1. We're getting to that, right? It's a big two-parter. And honestly, I suspect, now this is just me as a suspect, suspect because of the, I think it's one of the variant covers, or maybe it's one of the first pages in the DC sent us a review copy of this, obviously. But there's a half page of the Legion flying by. I have a feeling that the insert on the second one is going to be the other half of the Legion of that two-parter. My feeling is that this was originally supposed to be a 48-page one-shot.
Right.
And then somebody said, you know, Brian Michael Bendis is a pretty big name at the old DC. What if we split this into two and we made double our money?
Kind of makes me wonder if this wasn't actually written as his issue one and somebody came to their senses and realized there's no Legion in this issue one. So it can't be Legion issue one. But
well,
you know,
it's interesting. You know, it is interesting, right? So what we do another podcast for those people who are listening called the Legion Clubhouse, where we look at the history of the Legion of Superheroes through the lens of today. And we look at all of these things that contributed to the Legion of Superheroes. And so one of the big things that is a contributor to the Legion of Superheroes is Superboy. And of course, we've already seen in last week's Superman issue, we saw the Legion come back for John Kent, not Clark Kent. But, you know, there's this reference by the Legion to follow everything Superman. And there's a big to-do in the Commandy section of this book of the reference of the Superman costume and how we must protect it and how he will come again and all of this stuff. The other thing that is kind of a bit of the Legion of Superheroes is the Science Police. And we get in the Tommy Tomorrow segment them talking about the Science Police forming the, it's not the United Planets. What do they call it?
Tommy and the Planeteers.
Yeah, the Planeteers. Our main character wants to join the Planeteers, and he mentions, right, well, the Science Police have already tracked you down, lady, and they're coming to get you. And so we get, you know, a little bit of the Science Police. And then we also get a little bit of, you know, what happens when a superhero ages. Why do superheroes stay so young? You know, we've had this question over the last couple of episodes in regards to the ages of the Legion of Superheroes. And so we find our character who's running around in this book confronting, taking out Batman Beyond. What's his name? I want to call him Timothy.
Terry.
But that's Terry. That's
McGinnis.
It. Terry McGinnis. And she's like, why are you always so young? Why are the superheroes always so young? So in this, we're kind of getting a little hint at these elements of the Legion of Superheroes. And because there are so many questions about, well, what timeline are we in anytime we deal with the Legion or Tommy Tomorrow or the Commandy or the Batman Beyond? How can all these futures be there when they seem so different from one another? And over the course of a millennium, we find out that we do get the Batman Beyond. That is part of the timeline. We do get the Commandy. It's part of the timeline. We do get the World of Tomorrow. And so from that standpoint, even though this is kind of a prelude to the Legion of Superheroes, I found this quite interesting about how are all these things coming together to point us in this direction of this United Planets and the Legion formation.
Well, you know, John Kent invented the United Planets.
He did on August 18th of 2019.
Like 2 weeks after Conan O'Brien invented the podcast.
And 2 weeks after, 2 weeks after the issue was supposed to originally arrive.
Well, Conan O'Brien made that happen because he didn't want to get overshadowed when he invented the podcast.
That's true, too. So you didn't care for this issue mainly because it didn't have the Legion of Superheroes in it. Oh, also another big staple of the Legion of Superheroes is Supergirl. And we find out what happens to Supergirl in the future as well.
In a future, yeah. I actually didn't mind this issue. I felt like the marketing was foolish. I felt that calling this Legion of Superheroes Millennium is, well, first of all, difficult because it's not either of those things. And those are both established DC titles. And more importantly, I feel like it's going to have people coming in and thinking, well, I'm going to come look at this and see if it'll give me something about the new Legion. What they really should have done was marketed this as just plain Millennium or something related to, you know, the Thorn, who is our main character, Rose Forest.
Yeah. So is this the first time that we get any indication that Rose of Rose and Thorn fame is an immortal?
Yeah. Rose has been around since, this version of Rose Forest has been around since the 70s, I think.
Yeah.
And, the Earth One version of Rose was just a powerless, vigilante, you know, acrobat-y type who had multiple personality disorder. So she'd wake up as a superhero sometimes.
Yeah.
There was a previous Thorn who, I can't remember if they explicitly said she was immortal, but I know she didn't really age between the 40s and the 80s because she was actually a plant-based creature.
Right. I remember that. I remember that. I do remember that series.
Yeah, that was Rose Canton.
That was not very good.
But Rose Canton is the one who married Green Lantern. Uh-huh. That's a different Rose.
Yeah.
And I think she was the mother of Jade and Obsidian, if I'm not mistaken.
I kind of... Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and this is how I read this issue. It starts out with Rose talking to Supergirl, the president of the United States, and saying how she how she finally realizes that she's immortal and she's afraid to let Thorn come out because Thorn is her own personality, and if Thorn comes out, she blanks out and she doesn't remember anything until she comes back to being herself. And Supergirls or Superwoman is just like, hey, yeah, we'll take care of this. Don't worry about it. And then suddenly we have Rose again confronting Terry. And then and then we get another time jump to Commandy. Then we get another time jump to the Planeteers. And I get this weird feeling that the reason why these are the time jumps is because Thorn is in control in between those times.
Could be.
Did you get that?
We're only seeing
that reading at all?
Moments where Rose is there.
Yeah.
I don't think it's textually there. In fact, I actually seem to recall something indicating that maybe she crossed dimensions or somehow jumped around to get from Commandy's future to Tommy's future.
I didn't read it as that. I just saw that, hey, this is how we're tying all the futures together because she is this immortal that is living through each of those,
right?
Events as they happen, and it takes 100 years, 200 years, 500 years, whatever it may be, to get through each of these different ages.
I come from a world where everybody was wiped out by a man-made apocalypse, so yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean another world. Now that I'm reading it, so
yeah,
I actually did not hate this.
I didn't either. I was surprised by it.
The Commandy story actually takes place in and around an actual Commandy story.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Commandy 27, where there's a big fight over the Mighty One that turns out to be Superman's invulnerable costume.
Yeah.
And now, I like Rose as a protagonist. I kind of hope she actually ends up in the Legion.
I would have to look. I would have to go back and look at, was it the Superman book or one of those others where they had the big double page? Because there were a couple of characters you're like, well, I don't know who that is. And I wonder if Rose is in there somewhere.
It would be interesting. It would be nice.
That would be really interesting if she is, or is at least being considered for candidacy, because during the Tommy Tomorrow bit, she's like, look, I want to join your Planeteers. I want to do good. And they're like, oh, no, we do have some missing records on you, but we know you're a villain. You're not a nice person. The science police are coming for you. And she's like, listen, if I ever come at you and it looks like I'm going to kick your butt, you better run because I'm going to kill you. And he's like, well, what? What? But I mean, I wonder if her multiple personality disorder would prevent her from being a member of the Legion because they wouldn't know when she's going to flip from being the hero vigilante to the murder person.
She would not be the first Legionnaire to have multiple personality disorder or some variation thereof.
Okay.
And as recently as 4 or 5 years ago, Starboy.
Yes. Now he
was an active member.
And so we talked
schizophrenia.
Yeah. You mentioned that, that's another thing that kind of ties into this future of the Legion, because Starboy does have schizophrenia and he relies heavily on drugs. And the reason why Rose is talking to Supergirl is because apparently
her
they just stopped making the drugs. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause nobody has the problems that she has anymore.
Yeah. This is really fascinating. I mean, even though you say it's misleading from the title, this does have so many things that tie to the Legion.
It's still misleading. I feel like for me, and this is, you know, this is going to be some high praise or a cheer, early on in the book. And I don't know if it's a Lee panel or if it's Bermejo.
He did the Supergirl.
There's a scene where Superman and the Thorn are fighting.
Yes, that's Jim Lee.
That's a Lee. All right. Uh-huh. Thorn has never, ever looked that good. And you may say to me, oh, how do you know? Well, my friend, my copy of Lois Lane number 105 is one of my prized comic books. I have an almost complete run of the Rose and Thorn stories, which is to say I have all 43 books.
I know I have, what was it, the 93, Showcase 93, I think was when she had a big run or something. It was one of the Showcase ones.
I think it was Showcase 93 or 94, and then she had, Gail Simone actually did a five-issue mini with Rose around 2005?
Yeah,
but the old Koenigger stories back in the Lois Lane, the back half of the Lois Lane book in the 70s are nutsy cuckoo in a really great 70s kind of way.
So here's another thing that they could have done if they wanted to. DC could have done if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. There are four different stories in here, in this book. They could have easily made each one of these. If they would have planned ahead, and who knows if this is a Bendis delay or if this is an art delay, because Jim Lee is notorious slow on a lot of his art.
Right.
But they could have easily taken each one of these sections of Millennium and made it the backup story inside of Superboy or Superman, sorry, in the Superman books.
And
kind of teasing what was coming up so that, you know, 4 issues away, 3 issues away, 2 issues away, Superman 14 hits and it's like, hey, we want you to join the Legion of Superheroes. And by then you already have all the 8 little backup stories that you're going to get from Millennium inside that Superman run, and then it leads naturally right into the Legion of Superheroes. That, or make it a single giant issue.
Yeah. And that's the thing about a single giant issue. I mean, if we did a 96-page Millennium story, it'd be a $7.99 comic.
I'd be okay with that.
Or a $9.99 comic.
To be honest, for what we got in this book right now, I really, when I looked at the price and saw it's $4.99, I felt like I got my $5 worth. I mean, granted, I didn't pay $5 for this, but I feel like I got $5
worth. But you felt like your $5 theoretically would have been well spent. I can see that.
What didn't you like, besides the fact that there are no Legion members?
There are no Legion members. Also, I find
Wait, real quick before we get into that. Who is Ben Boxer, or whoever this guy is running around with Commandy?
Ben Boxer is one of Commandy's friends. I want to say that Ben is not a cyborg, but he's like genetically engineered. Did you ever read Commandy's series back when Kirby was doing it?
I didn't do that. I have it somewhere in my big Kirby collection books, but I've never read beyond like the first 2 issues or something like that.
So if you look at Ben's chest, he's got that Kirby squiggle.
Mm-hmm.
If he taps the Kirby squiggle on his chest, he turns to solid steel.
Ah, okay. I just saw that he was wearing a uniform that kind of looks like Mon-El's uniform. And I was thinking
Ben has always worn. He's got a big big red suit and boots and
Yeah, like, so I was like, that's kind of like a Mon-El. Is this a, you know, another future kind of thing? So I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. Tell us what you didn't about this book.
I feel like while I understand the multiple art teams and I appreciate multiple art teams for different time frames, the switch from the first team, which I'm pretty sure is Jim Lee, to the second team, which may be Dustin Nguyen, all the art by Dustin Nguyen. Don't close your eyes. No, wait, that's a different thing. Is a really, really tough transition. And it's a transition that it's meant to be several hundred years apart, which I'm, you know, perfectly fine with. And after reading through it, I can see what it's going for. But for the first page or so of that Batman Beyond chapter, I have no idea what's going on. And there's no real indication other than here's a red-haired woman, and she doesn't actually look particularly auburn-haired at the beginning. Is this Thorn at all? So I feel like the transition points between the art teams could have been handled with something a little bit more than an and-then caption. But yeah, I also understand what they were doing there.
Yeah, that also threw me off at first because I was like, wait a minute, who is this woman running around in the Commander universe? Because she, and I was like, okay, who is she supposed to be? And then I read it again. It's like, oh, wait, no, this is Rose or Thorn. But it's clearly Rose. Now, all of a sudden, all three of these books tied in together and made complete sense to me. And I was like, ah, okay, fantastic. Yeah, I see what you're doing. And
the color profile means that four different art teams have four different hair colors for our primary character. And again, is it intentional? Maybe it could be something where they're trying to show us the passage of time and how things affect her and how maybe she can't get L'Oreal vivid red in all these alternate futures. I don't know. But yeah, I feel like the transition points between the art teams were problematic. And from my perspective, I don't necessarily feel like if a new reader were to walk into this, that it's particularly friendly to new readers.
No.
I know who Ben Boxer is. Yeah, I know who Terry McGinnis is. I know who Tommy Tomorrow is. But I don't know that your average kid walking in off the street is going to know.
Yeah. So the only reason I think any, let me just, for lack of a better word, current readers, new readers, not longtime readers, the only way that they would know who Tommy Tomorrow is because Tommy Tomorrow appeared in that Super Sun series.
Right.
Most recently. Commandy, I would think that if you went up to somebody and said, Commandy, they would go, yeah, I have an inkling that I kind of know what that's about. Future Boy and Talking Animals, right? But they wouldn't know anything more about that, right? Supergirl in the future, that makes sense. And of course, Batman Beyond, I think everybody knows Batman Beyond. So I would agree with you that this isn't super new reader friendly, but I think that there's still enough packed in here that it gives people this idea. I mean, most readers aren't even going to know who Rose and Thorn are. I would agree with you that this is a rough issue for a new reader to pick up and just go in and understand everything that's going on. But at the same time, I think this is new reader friendly enough to where even if you don't know anything that's going on, you understand that there is this character of Rose Forrest who is moving through time. And regardless of who these other people are, there are these elements that mean something. Even if it's not spelled out to you, even if you're not a Legion Clubhouse listener or a fan of the Legion of Superheroes, these little things that pop up kind of may percolate in the back of your mind so that when the Legion finally arrives, when they finally appear on the page, we can go, oh, this stuff that was mentioned before finally makes sense.
I can see it.
Yeah.
Again, you know, if your question of was this one big story that they split into for marketing purposes, that might actually be part of the thing. There is a very successful Bendis conversation in here that doesn't drive me completely out of the book.
Which one was that?
The Thorn Batman conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Is
yeah.
pure Bendis. Mm-hmm. Tell me why. I hate my guy. You have a tech guy? Why? Yeah, that's pure Bendis. I feel like the Supergirl interaction isn't, to my mind, a Bendis conversation. It actually feels like kind of just a plot-driven, here's what's going on. I have to explain this to you. Yeah. And it's done well. I mean, the exposition is put in there in a way that you're like, oh, well, this could be something weird and crazy, which I'm totally fine with. But that side conversation about, do you have a tech guy? I hate my tech guy. Yeah, that's a Bendis thing. And it works. And yeah. I kind of wonder if that might not be the key to, you know, new super villainy Legion of Superhero stuff in the new future. I mean, if Sunboy is like, hey, Starboy, did you hear about D&D 1955.0? And then they have that conversation, and then all of a sudden something blows up and it's Mordru. That would be kind of interesting.
Oh, now that would be interesting, right? If it was all kind of, yeah, it'll be interesting to see when the Legion finally arrives in what, 3 months, 2 months, something like that. You know, what it's going to be, what it's going to be like, and what are the stories we're going to get and who's involved. And we kind of know that, you know, all the old favorites are going to be there, but we don't know what kind of adventures they're going to be on, or really after the formation of the United Planets, we don't even know what the state of Legion membership or the problems Alabama. In the galaxy or anything like that is going to be there. So I am super thrilled and excited about the Legion. I'm sorry. I shouldn't even apologize. I love the Legion. I don't care. And we're getting Legion that seems like it's being built up in a way that makes sense, as opposed to here's a three-boot miniseries inside of a convoluted other series, and now here's your spinoff series, and nobody wants that spinoff series. This feels like something people want.
I don't know. I want a spinoff series. I want the adventures of Matter Eater Lad and Wildfire trapped in a truck.
Well, we had Legion Lost.
That was a terrible book.
I know. See, that's what I'm saying. That was stuff nobody wanted.
That was Retro Boot.
No, that was stuff nobody wanted.
Oh, sure. It was terrible.
I think they immediately
killed off two Legionnaires in the first issue. And it's like, ha ha, they're dead.
Yeah. And as I read this issue, it feels like they're building something that feels exciting.
I would agree with that.
I say, listeners, go pick it up. I give this a big thumbs up.
I would say a little bit more cautiously. It seems like it's worth the time. And more importantly, aside from the title being a pain in my neck, there isn't really anything that stands out as a huge misstep. So,
right.
You know, I may not know what they're building to, and I may be worried about whether or not it's understandable to people who don't know what they're building to, but none of it just comes out and screams, hey, look, it's Doctor Strange in a turtleneck having a beer.
Well, that would be the thing that would be most upsetting to me, is if we just get a rehash of, it's the Riddler, but the future, because that's what Batman Beyond was all about.
Future Riddler. Batman Beyond had some good stuff going on.
How can we get the Joker, but the future? And that kind of got on my nerves.
Well, that happened with the 2099 line, too. They're like, hey,
yeah,
hey,
Spider-Man.
We need X-Men 2099. We need X-Men 2099. Why?
Yeah,
because X-Men.
Yeah. So okay. Listeners and people who are hanging out in our Discord chat room, listening as we record this episode, there you go. Rush out and go buy this book from me. Matthew says, maybe wait till it drops into the dollar bin and then pick it up.
It does not.
Well, I mean, comics go down to, in 3 months, this issue will be $1.99 on Comixology.
Yes, but I didn't say that.
You said be more cautious.
I said I would be more cautious, yes. I would check it out, you know, take a look at it, maybe see if you can be like, oh, well, maybe I'm fine with this, and then buy it.
Yeah, buy it at the...
It's not like
wait,
a runaway.
Wait 3 months and buy it at $1.99.
That doesn't happen.
It does happen.
Where?
In 3 months, the price will drop to $1.99 on Comixology. Buy it for $1.99 in 3 months.
I thought you were talking like a literal back issue bin. I'm like, that doesn't
happen. No, this is literally how Comixology works.
Sense when you put in a bag and board, man.
Yeah, I see. There you go. There you go. So there you go, listeners. There is a dueling review. And if you're wondering why on the Legion Clubhouse podcast feed you're hearing this show, it's because it's a Legion man minus the Legion. So there you go.
Legion minus Legion. It's like that Garfield thing where they erase Garfield and it just makes John into this painful loser.
I'm going to tell Kevin that is perfect economy 101 with Steven Schleicher, because that's exactly how it works. He's trying to make fun of me saying that I'm, you know, telling you how the economy of comics works. That's exactly how it works.
Make fun of Steven all you want. It's cool.
No, it doesn't bother me. I was telling a bunch of kids today about the
doesn't make you sound a thousand.
The troll hating army and how they can't be afraid to create and build and put themselves out there, because regardless, the troll hating army is just going to come and say, oh, that sucks, go kill yourself, because they're doing it for the lulz, not because you're not talented. So
yeah.
That is just the fact of the world.
Hey, you
so.
Kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Get off my lawn.
No, it's not get off my lawn. I was literally telling them, don't be afraid to share what you're making, what you're creating. Because
make art on my lawn.
Yeah, just don't squat while you're doing it. Hey, how did we end up with Legion of Superheroes Millennium number one?
Well, last week.
On Critical Hit?
No, different show.
Oh, okay.
This is Dueling Review. Last week on Dueling Review, we said to everyone, go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/majorspoilers. Find the post that was entitled This Week's Dueling Review. Choose a book that you'd like to see us review. Put your comment in the comment section, and the most comments for the available books were for Legion of Superheroes Millennium number one.
Yep.
Now, if you wanted to do it this week,
yes.
You could go there now.
Yes.
You look for next week's post.
The post is actually up for comics arriving on September 11th, 2019. From yep. Boom Studios, we have Ghosted in L.A. number three. This is a kind of a cute story about a girl who moves into an apartment building that's haunted by ghosts. But they're friendly ghosts, so you got that
scary
going for
ghost
you.
Blah.
Also, Go-Go Power Rangers number 23, Ronin Island number 6. And then I guess if people are still in love with the Klasky Chupsko style of animation, you can get Rugrats Building Blocks, the graphic novel, for $15. That's probably priced about $14.99 higher than it should be.
Be nice.
I'm sorry. I had a friend when I lived in Atlanta who just absolutely loved Rugrats. I watched one episode and I said, what is this ugly, horrific stuff? And he's like, oh, that's all of the stuff that everyone on Nickelodeon's doing or Cartoon Network or wherever it was. And I said, no, thank you.
The art on Rugrats is not as bad as the voice work on Rugrats. So
well, it's got what's her name? It's got Harley Quinn doing the voice of Stewie or Petey or whatever his name is.
Tara did the voice of Dill, the little brother.
Yeah.
But that does not mean that the majority of people on Rugrats follow the pinch your nose and pretend to be a different person theory.
Oh, gee, Matthew, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm Tommy and I talk like this all the time.
It looks like the smaller turkey is actually moving inside the bigger turkey.
I don't even know what that means.
You know, I'm not bagging on the Klasky Chupsko style because everybody bags. It seems like everybody bags on a specific style because I actually thought Rocko's Modern Life, the art style on that was fine. I believe that was Klasky Chupsko and not Ren and Stimpy. Who was what were the other shows that were Klasky Chupsko shows? Duckman.
Duckman was from that same aesthetic, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So there you go.
I don't think it was the same company, but it was in
that Rugrats, same role. I'm not sold on Rugrats. Dark Horse Comics next week. Black Hammer, Justice League, number 3 of 5.
Black Hammer.
Mask gets an omnibus, a second omnibus edition for $25. And the Orville number 3 arrives as well. So there you go. Oh, if you're a big fan of the Umbrella Academy Apocalypse Suite, Dark Horse Comics is also releasing a library edition hardcover. Now, these are bigger sized volumes, nicely bound, definitely worth the $40 there. DC Comics next week has Batman 78, Batman and the Outsiders number 5, Batman Hush trade paperback New Ed, Batman the Killing Joke hardcover New Ed, Batman trade paperback volume 10 Nightmares, and Batman Universe number 3 of 6. I hear there's going to be a new Batman coming down the pipe here in a few months, so you better gather all the Batmans while you can. Catwoman
that'll be permanent.
Permanent forever. It'll be like getting that regrettable tattoo that you have to live with for the rest of your life. Catwoman number 15 goes on sale next week, as does Flash 78, Hawkman number 16, Justice League Odyssey number 13, Wonder Twins 7, and Young Justice number 8. Oh, Event Leviathan also comes out next week, issue number 4 on that. Dynamite Entertainment has Chastity number 1. That's a mature reader's book. It's got 5 different covers, none of them, Matthew, with the nude variant. Death Defying Devil number 1 and Red Sonja number 8 comes out next week from Dynamite, among some others. You can go again, find that complete list over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. IDW Publishing has Canto number 4 of 6, Pandemica number 1. Star Wars Adventures number 25, Starcadia Quest number 1. And Usagi Yojimbo number 1, second printing there. Image Comics has Analog number 8, Beauty number 29, Coffin Bound number 2, which reminds me, Matthew, did you know what one tombstone said to the other tombstone?
No, Stephen, what did one tombstone say to the other tombstone?
Is that you, Coffin? Hit Girl season 2 number 8 Kick-Ass at number 17, Man-Eaters number 11, Reaver number 3, Sonata number 4, and 3, what does this say? Trees, 3 Fates number 1. I don't know what that is, yes. But Trees,
that's from Warren Ellis, 3 Fates. The Trees series.
Oh, okay, all right. Marvel Comics next week has, Absolute Carnage, Symbiote of Vengeance number 1, Absolute Carnage versus Deadpool number 2, Age of Conan Valeria number 2, Agents of Atlas number 1, that's a second printing there, Amazing Spider-Man number 29, Daredevil number 11, Doctor Strange 19, Guardians of the Galaxy Prodigal Son, S-U-N, number 1. Immortal Hulk, is the Immortal Hulk series over?
I don't think so.
Okay, because we got 20, which is a third printing, 22 is a second printing, and Immortal Hulk Director's Cut number 3 arrives next week.
I think that Immortal Hulk just hit like the big milestone, and they're either about to hit 25 or just hit 25.
Ah, okay. All right. Powers of 10 number 4 arrives next week. True Believers Hulk Gray Hulk Returns number 1. That's a buck. Also, Hulk Mindless Hulk number 1 is a buck. So yeah, they must be on a Hulk kick right now. King Thor number 1. King Thor number 1 arrives next week. Venom number 18. I know you're ready for it, Matthew. I'm going to get it in your hands this weekend, I promise.
On an all new Venom.
Archie Married Life number 10. Oh, I'm sorry. Archie Married Life 10 Years Later number 2.
Yes.
Belle Oath of Thorns number 2. Beware the Witch's Shadow number 1. Let's see, Doctor Who, the 13th Doctor, number 12 from Titan Comics. Let's see, Lady Death Ongoing. Next week, you get issues 14, 15, 16, and 17, as well as Lady Death Ongoing number 7, and Lady Death Origins Annual number 1. Now, these would, I guess, are just the variant covers or the leftovers that they had from the San Diego Comic-Con and the New York Comic-Con, the Philly Comic-Con, and the Phoenix Comic-Con.
Okay.
Livewire number 10. Let's see, Midnight Sky number 1, Sabrina Teenage Witch number 5, the final issue in that miniseries. And then finally, we're going to wrap that up with Zorro Rise of the Old Gods number 1. Now, Matthew, I know we're telling
Zorro
our listeners,
versus Cthulhu.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool, right? Well, first he's got to take on Shub-Niggurath, and then he's got to take on the quest of Unknown Kadath. That'd be actually kind of cool. Zorro in the Mound, that would be perfect for a Zorro book. Now, Matthew, I know you were telling people that they had to go over to patreon.com/majorspoilers
to
cast their vote and let us know what book they want us to read next week. But
that's also true.
I hear when people say Patreon, what you're really saying is, I have to give you money in order to vote on this thing.
That may be what you hear, but that is not the case.
What?
Anyone can vote for Dueling Review, whether you are a Major Spoilers patron or not. So long as you have a Patreon account, you can go there. And if you don't have one, you can make one. You don't have to spend any money. You can go. You put in your vote. Next week, we may review your book. And hey, you may see stuff over there. In fact, you will see stuff over there that you're going to want to see.
Yeah, this weekend we've got a Why Do You Hate Me from Matthew. Oh, Matthew was just like giggling with laughter when I told him what book he was going to be reviewing. And he's still, I think, right now, chuckling on his insides and saying, I can't believe I got to review this book. It was so good. I love it. I know people ask why they hate me, but I think people actually love me because I had to read the Identity Crisis number 2.
There was chucking, but it was less ull and more up.
Ah, okay. So there's some free stuff over there, right?
There is. And
yes.
You may say to yourself, this is not my beautiful stapler. And you may say to yourself, this is not my beautiful chair. But when you see all of the content over there, if you'd like to become a Major Spoilers patron, you absolutely can. And there's going to be a bunch of stuff that you get that you can play along and you can be a whole part of the Major Spoilers experience. But
so what are some things? Let's just say someone's like, you know what? I enjoyed your conversations. You guys make me laugh. You guys are having a lot of fun on this show. Sometimes you argue and bicker a little bit. And you sound like my parents, so I have little flashbacks. But you know what? You guys put this show out, Dueling Review, out every week without fail. And some weeks, some months, there's 5 weeks in the month. Some months, there's only 4 weeks. But you know what? Your show is worth at least a buck an episode to me. So I'm going to cash in at $5. Tell me, Mr. Podcast Guy. what else am I going to get for my $5 besides just paying for this show that I already get for free? And I really don't even have to pay you, but I feel like I should contribute something back for the 13 years of entertainment you have brought me.
Well, I think that the first thing that you get, if you're really into our conversations, and maybe you think, I wonder if these guys would be as funny if they had some other cool dudes along, and you wanted to hear maybe what we talk about behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
you get that. You get behind the scenes of the Major Spoilers podcast. You get a specific fan podcast that Steven and I do about the CW series, The Flash, which will be back in like a month.
In October, yeah.
In October, but you can go back and you can listen to season 2, season 3, season 4. You get access to our commentary tracks for some really high-profile nerd flicks. And if you're someone who has listened to our Critical Hit show, you get that 1 week early and commercial-free. But what? Better than that, if you never have listened to our Critical Hit show, it's a live play RPG podcast. We play all sorts of games. We play your D&D. We play your Fate. We play your whatever that other thing is.
Fiasco, Pathfinder, Sentinels of the Multiverse, Call of Cthulhu. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on.
And you can listen to that
just
show
for $5.
Like, wow, just for $5.
Come on, nobody gives us that much extra stuff for $5 a month on top of all the free stuff that they're already giving us. Nobody does
well,
that.
Well, we do at Major Spoilers, and do you know why, Steven?
Because we're idiots and gluttons for punishment.
Because we love comics and they do too, and we'll see you soon.
That wraps it up for this installment of Dueling Review. Thank you so much for downloading and checking us out. We will be back next week when maybe you will finally hear Matthew say...
It's actually 18%. It's always the inverse.
This podcast is copyright 2019 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.